Hey everybody, producer Dave here. Thanks for tuning into the Plex podcast. The Plex is a live show every Sunday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. You can check it out at echoplexmedia.com/live, or you can watch on Twitch at twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Also, don't forget to join our chat room at discord.me/echoplex. And if you feel like you get something out of this, please support us at Patreon, patreon.com/echoplex. Enjoy the show. Podcast listeners, and if I put this up on YouTube, welcome to the Plex. We do the show live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, I don't know, if you enjoy it, go ahead and follow it on your favorite podcatcher, and then follow it on a podcatcher that came on your phone that you can't remove. And then go ahead and go over to Twitch, twitch.tv/echoplexmedia, follow us there. And I don't know, if you're got money, you don't need anything, you have nothing better to do with, go to patreon.com/echoplex. and give us money there. Also, we have some shirts. That's echoplexmedia.com/swag. You can go there, find some shirts, buy some shirts, give one to a friend who doesn't like us. I'm Producer Dave. You can find me damn near anywhere.
On the Media Winch, you can find me here on Echoplex Media on Twitch. I also do Meltdown/Makeup Monday. That's Monday at 7 o'clock. And we have a whole fucking schedule of shit. Go check it out on echoplexmedia.com. Yeah, you can find me on most of the places you can find Producer Dave, except for on Grindr. Why don't you give the people what they want?
She's looking so fine tonight, what a delicate flower. I get so confused, is it shame or empowerment? Well, she'll fuck me down. The tits are so big and the ass is so hot. But don't you tell anyone. Oh, well, I think you know better. If my death pays you off, will it make you feel as dead inside? You can buy a new dress to replace the one I tore. But take away my football scholarship and my awards. Drink and act out that this is what happens. Well, you can't play them this bright young kid. They were both drunk. Just think about his football scholarship. Just think about his football scholarship. Just think about his football scholarship.
All right, everybody.
Yeah.
I played the wrong song, but whatever. It's Football Scholarship by the Ruffies. Good song, regardless. Somebody in the chat thought it was loud and annoying, and I think that's sort of what punk rock is going for. So, quality. Anyway, we're going to get started with our docket. We got a lot to get through tonight. We're probably not going to get through most of it. What I found is a mega thread of the hearings about January 6th, and I skipped the Liz Cheney part, which I think everybody's going to be really glad that I did, because nobody really likes Liz Cheney. Not Democrats, not Republicans, not leftists, not libertarians, nobody. But here's, appears to be Sergeant Gunnell, and he's going to talk about his experience on the 6th in front of Congress.
What we were suggested that day was like something from a medieval battle. We fought hand to hand, inch by inch, to prevent an invasion of the Capitol by a violent mob intent on subverting our democratic process. My fellow officers and I were committed to not letting any rioters breach the Capitol.
So, Media, once you know that meme we have about how Congress investigates the Plex for Apex trolling, this lady on the left is in that fucking meme that you made.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't even know who she is, but I love her. She never looks happy, so I probably love her. Oh, is that it's Zoe Lofgren? Okay, yeah, she's from the Bay Area, I think.
It was a prolonged and desperate struggle. The rioters attempted to breach the Capitol were shouting, "Trump, send us. Pick the right side. We want Trump." I vividly heard officers screaming in agony and pain, just an arm length from me. I didn't know at that time, but that was Officer Hodges, and he's here today to testify. I too was being crushed by the rioters. I could feel myself losing oxygen and recall thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die.
Whoa.
Defending this entrance. Many of the officers fighting alongside me were calling for shields because their shields had been stripped from them by the rioters. I was one of the few officers left with a shield, so I spent the majority of my time at the front of the line. I later find out that my wife and relatives were here in the U.S. and abroad. Were frantically calling and texting me from 2 p.m. onward because they were watching the turmoil on television.
Yo.
Yo.
That guy, okay, this is a long thread, so we're not going to get through to every post. That guy, like, I don't know nothing about the Capitol Police. I don't know if they pull you over and, like, bust you for marijuana when they shouldn't. I don't know anything about it. But, like, what I've seen so far from the few people who've spoken out is they seem like they're either, you know, they're either decent enough people or they're able to pretend to be decent on TV. Which a lot of, right. Even the second one, a lot of regular cops have a hard time doing that. They're like, what? I shot him.
You know? I was doing my duty.
So here's the one that we've been seeing a lot of on TV. This is, it's Michael Fanone. I don't know if it's Fanone or Fanone. And he's going to talk a little bit. He's been pretty impressive. And I feel like he was either apolitical or conservative before this. And I feel like maybe he's not a conservative anymore after what he saw.
Yeah.
Come on,
because
Twitter.
I was among the vastly outnumbered group of law enforcement officers protecting the Capitol and the people inside it. I was grabbed, beaten, tased, all while being called a traitor to my country. I was at risk of being stripped of and killed with my own firearm as I heard chants of kill him with his own gun. I could still hear those words in my head today. Although I regularly deal with risky situations on the job, nowhere in my wildest imagination did I ever expect to be in that situation or sitting here before you talking about it. That experience and its aftermath were something that not even my extensive law enforcement training could prepare me for.
Fuck.
That was the end of the clip. I thought he had just paused. People in the chat are making a good point. Like the higher ups or whatever, like obviously didn't have Facebook and didn't know what the fuck was going to happen. Like they weren't prepared in any way for this thing to happen. And so these people who were there ended up, like, you know, having this experience where, like, I'm sorry, I feel like the Capitol Police probably do a lot of, oh, it's down that hallway. Do you know what I'm saying? I have a feeling that they're like they're
like docents,
right? I feel like they, like, maybe are your keys still in your pocket? You set off the metal detector. I feel like they do a lot of that. I feel like they almost do more things that you'd expect the security at an airport to do, right? Because people don't generally go to the Capitol Capitol building to make trouble,
for
right?
Fuckery.
They're like on a tour with their junior high or something.
Yeah.
Here's one more clip of this guy.
At some point during the fighting, I was dragged from the line of officers and into the crowd. I heard someone scream, "I got one." As I was swarmed by a violent mob, they ripped off my badge. They grabbed and stripped me of my radio. They seized ammunition that was secured to my body. They began to beat me with their fists and with what felt like hard metal objects. At one point, I came face to face with an attacker who repeatedly lunged for me and attempted to remove my firearm. I heard chanting from some in the crowd, "Get his gun and kill him with his own gun." I was aware enough to recognize I was at risk of being stripped of and killed with my own firearm. I was electrocuted again and again and again with a taser. I'm sure I was screaming, but I don't think I could even hear my own voice. My body camera captured the violence of the crowd directed toward me during those very frightening moments. It's an important part of the record for this committee's investigation, for the country's understanding of how I was assaulted and nearly killed as the mob attacked the Capitol that day. And I hope that everyone will be able to watch it. The portions of the video I've seen remain extremely painful for me to watch at times, but it is essential that everyone understands what really happened that tragic day. During those moments, I remember thinking there was a very good chance I would be torn apart or shot to death with my own weapon. I thought of my four daughters who might lose their dad. I remain grateful that no member of Congress had to go through the violent assault that I experienced that day.
So somebody in the chat also said that people, the Capitol Police had made a mistake maybe by not firing on people earlier. That's like a judgment call you make in the beginning. But I do think, like, if, you know, like in the movies where somebody's like, hey, stop, and blat one into the air. Like, I know you're not supposed to fire a gun into the air, but I feel like things would have changed dramatically if the crowd heard gunfire. But the problem is we don't know what dramatic change would have happened.
Right.
They're like, oh, the crowd was unarmed. It's like, no, they weren't, like, checked for weapons.
Showed up. It wasn't a fucking event.
Right. So, like, you don't know if people had concealed weapons or whatever. But, yeah, the only one that got shot was that Ashley Babbitt. And I'm still a little interested in that because that was a dude in a suit. By the way, a dude in a suit in that kind of situation, most likely to shoot you. That dude in the suit, it's his job to shoot you. We'll probably grab one more clip from this thread. This thread is huge. It's on the docket. You can hit bang docket in the chat to get information. Oh, here we go. This is Harry Dunn. I believe this is the one who lured all of them away, like by tempting them to get them to go up the stairs, yeah, while members of Congress escaped, like, you know, 50 feet away or whatever. I think this, right, is the same guy, but if it's, yeah, not, he's probably still got something interesting to say. And this will be the last one we watch on this, because we could do an hour on all these clips. Shout out to Aaron Rupar for pulling all these clips and making it, like, super digestible for everybody.
I was stunned by what I saw.
Oh, not the same guy.
And what seemed like a sea of people, Capitol Police officers and Metropolitan Police officers, MPD, were engaged in desperate hand-to-hand fighting with rioters across the West Lawn. Until then, I had never seen anyone physically assault Capitol Police or MPD, let alone witness mass assaults being perpetrated on law enforcement officers. I witnessed the rioters using all kinds of weapons against officers, including flagpoles, metal bike racks that they had torn apart, and various kind of projectiles. Officers were being bloodied in the fighting. Many were screaming, and many were blinded and coughing from chemical irritants being sprayed in their faces. I gave decontamination aid to as many officers as I could, flushing their eyes with water to dilute the chemical irritants. Soon thereafter, I heard, "Attention all units, the Capitol has been breached," and that rioters were in various places inside the building. At that point, I rushed into the Capitol with another officer, going first to the basement on the Senate side, where I'd heard an MPD officer needed a defibrillator. After returning outside to the West Terrace to assist officers, I went back into the Capitol and up the stairs towards the crypt. There I saw rioters who had invaded the Capitol carrying a Confederate flag, a red MAGA flag, and a Don't Tread on Me flag.
They're like, don't tread on me, I'm gonna tread on you instead.
tread.
I decided to stand my ground there to prevent any rioters from heading down the stairs to the Lower West Terrace entrance, because that's where officers were getting decontamination aid and were particularly vulnerable. At the top of the stairs, I confronted a group of insurrectionists, warning them, do not go down those steps. One of them shouted, "Keep moving, patriots."
Who? So, yeah, people in chat were saying, like, if regular ass, like, I said that they were going to storm the Capitol. the fucking 2 days before they did it. I also fucking made a wild prediction that Deanna Plas would get. It wasn't that wild prediction, but it was like a low, it was 5-6% chance that it would happen. If I knew down to who was going to be there and that they were going to get tear gassed, and it was like some obscure crazy person from Massachusetts, like they could have, whoever was in charge of this could have like taken a look at social media and figured out that there might be a real fucking problem.
I was just going to fucking say it. I was going to say it earlier too. That fucking stream that day was wild. And the fact that we knew exactly where to look for, to be in the middle of the shit while it was happening, is mind blowing that there wasn't more people in positions where shit could actually have been done or handled that had the same opportunities for that same information.
Because they don't hire people like you and me in law enforcement. And because of the way law enforcement is, because they don't hire people like you and me, we ain't going to go do it anyway. But yeah, I mean, you didn't have to be some kind of fucking genius to figure out what was going to happen on January 6th, or that it was I think it was like 50-50 likely that they were going to attempt to storm the Capitol. The fact that they got in, I think, was like half again, but that's still 25%. That's 1 in 4. And like, that's a really high probability that such an event is going to happen. And there just weren't enough people there to defuse it. And once they realized that they were in an untenable position, they couldn't actually start shooting because they might have ended there. It would have been a bloodbath. People who were just there for the gram would have got shot. Fucking the people who were there that might have been armed, who were doing the insurrection, would have started shooting. They would have shot the insurrectionists, as well as maybe the Capitol Police or the DC Metro Police. Like, it would have been a nightmare. But I think had people been a little more on the ball, had people been looking at social media, had they, I don't know, contacted the NSA, who's listening to everything, and been like, hey, what the fuck do you think is going to happen on January 6th?
Yeah, really, Ben.
The NSA would be like, we don't exist, but if we did, here's what we would tell you are the likelihoods of things happening, right? Like, what the fuck good is all this fucking surveillance? I mean, I don't think it's good, right? It doesn't work, but what the fuck good would it be, except for in a situation like this, to have a little bit of foresight as to what the chatter is?
Yeah.
They fucking, we've probably started wars on less chatter than what was happening before January 6th.
Oh, guaranteed.
So, anyway, that was my analysis. Now for some, different analysis.
Oh, God.
People he doesn't agree with in Washington. And that is unacceptable, and it should make you very nervous. Watch Fanon cite the psychological trauma he endured as an excuse for ditching our Bill of Rights.
I've been left with the psychological trauma and the emotional anxiety of having survived such a horrific event.
Now, not to in any way underplay the crimes that were committed on January 6th, and there were crimes committed on January 6th, but compared to what? What's interesting is that Michael Fanon didn't mention experience any trauma during the time he spent last year.
That got cut in a weird place. But I think he was going to say Black Lives Matter events. But the thing is, during the Black Lives, at no point during the Black Lives Matter events in D.C. did anybody attempt to invade any of the government buildings in Washington, D.C. Certainly not the Capitol. So how the fuck would this guy have been traumatized by Black Lives Matter at the Capitol if nothing happened at the Capitol? Oh, I mean, except for Trump sending out a bunch of goon squad to fucking go tear gas people, including Australian press, so that he could walk through and take a picture of himself with a Bible in front of a church that told him to go fuck himself.
Right. Also, there wasn't a crushing mob trying to rip every weapon he had off of his fucking body so they could destroy him with it. I was going to say burn, loot, murder him, but.
So I'm not even sure who the fuck Tammy Bruce is, but I think we hate her.
Okay, good. Need more people to hate.
That's right. You know what we don't have enough here? Enough around here people is people that we hate. We don't even have literally dozens of them we could give you a short biography of off the top of our head.
Yeah, not at all.
Joining us now for a reaction, Senator John Kennedy, excuse me, of Louisiana. Thank you, sir, for joining me. Clearly today was an assault on 75 million Americans. I think it was meant to be. And that last swing at Donald Trump, what's your takeaway from all of this?
Tammy, I don't hate anybody, and I try to look for grace wherever.
Dude, shut up! Your accent just called me the F word.
Yeah, dude.
But as to Speaker Pelosi's January 6th commission, I guess it comes down to, would you buy a used car from Speaker Pelosi? I mean, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, she's rich.
Really good.
Yeah, she's rich. It's been maintained properly and stuff. She may be asking too much for it. She's a little entitled, you know, but.
Used vehicle most likely to have a hidden wad of money in it somewhere.
Speaker Pelosi says that her commission is a nonpartisan search for the truth. I don't believe that. Just about everybody I've met in Washington, D.C. is partisan.
Get me with a tinfoil hat, Honorable Jay.
So he just said that, like, that she intended it to be a nonpartisan thing. No, everybody, like you said, everybody in Washington, D.C. is part of a political party. What they wanted was a bipartisan commission. Because we unfortunately have a two-party system here. And what they wanted was a bi-party, not a nonpartisan committee, because you can't get that when almost every representative is a member of a fucking political party. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Like, these people, how is this guy a representative or a senator or whatever? Like, how did he get that job?
There's like six people I can name also that you're like, how the fuck did you get this job? It's because people are allowed to vote.
To be fair, people come into this chat or into this live stream and they're like, why are there more than five people here? What the fuck? So it's been a long time since we've had a Crazy Eyes Bachman clip. So here it is, everybody. It's fucking Crazy Eyes Bachman, and she's going to talk about January 6th. Shout out to Right Wing Watch.
And turn my camera off for just 1 second. I'm watching and paying attention. I just got to turn it off real quick.
In the days leading up to January 6th, we were here praying, walking up and down in the city, walking in the mall, walking around this United States Capitol building. On the morning of January 6th, when all the events were about to transpire, it was extremely cold that day. It was January. We were out here. If you look right behind my shoulder, there's an open area of cement. This is where we were, right here. We had a platform set up. We had a permit. We had a worship band. And we had a number of Christians that were here. I have to tell you, on January 5th and January 6th, Washington, D.C. was one of the happiest places I'd ever been in. So many people were coming in support of President Trump. So many believers were here. People were witnessing on street corner after street corner. They're witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were holding
up banners. I thought she was going to say witnessing crime.
In the name of Jesus. They were holding up banners in support of President Trump. Why? They were supporting him because President Trump was standing for biblical values. And that's why so many believers were here to support him, because he was supporting biblical values. So it was really, I would say, more akin to a family reunion.
What the fuck?
Because y'all are inbred?
Oh, man. Like, a family reunion? That's weird.
That is weird.
Was happiness. People,
but also Trump only serves himself.
Swearing, they weren't planning an insurrection. They were so happy.
No, they planned that on Facebook.
They were in prayer, believing that the election results would be the true election results and only would be certified based upon what truly happened in that election outcome. So people of faith were here by faith, asking God through faith for his true election results. That's the real story of January 6th. Well, we didn't see normal people breaking in. Some people...
No, that's not normal what they did. That's true. Breaking the windows of fucking the Capitol. It's not what normal people do. She's right there.
Yeah, and smearing shit on the walls of the fucking inside the walls of the Capitol building is something a normal person should do.
Reported they saw five buses drive up to this building, and people got out of those buses wearing
those were Charlie Kirk's
black clothing. They came up. We don't know who those people were, but they came up, and it was clear that some people, whether they were the Capitol Police or dressed to look like Capitol Police, they physically took these bicycle-looking barriers. They opened them. The people who
we watched them do it.
They opened the barriers and they were going like this to the crowd. Come in. To say to the crowd, you can come in. There were some bad actors who had climbed up over here and on the other side.
Nicolas Cage wasn't there.
And they actually were pounding on the glass. Now, a normal person doesn't do that.
But y'all aren't normal people.
To pound on the glass. I've seen the videotape of the first 14 people who went into the building. They were all dressed in black. They looked like they'd been trained as warriors, the people who went in.
They're cosplay militia, and they planned it all on Facebook.
That was not the Trump supporters who were around the building. What my conclusion was on site is that this was nothing short of a coup, a political coup. What's a coup? It's an illegal takeover of a government.
That's what it was attempted. That's what I saw happening.
Yeah, they tried to do.
Look, shout out to Right Wing Watch. She's out of her damn mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Oh, fuck. All right, we're gonna skip ahead just a little bit. Here's Marjorie the Gathering. And Matt Gaetz calling the jail to be like, what is the condition of the person who stole the door? What kind of living conditions do they have in jail? It's like, motherfucker, it's jail. It's fucking one hot, two bologna sandwiches, and not even a cot. It's like a slab.
Hopefully this phone call won't jeopardize anyone.
Whoa.
Right.
You know?
Sorry about that.
Hopefully this phone call won't jeopardize anyone's safety.
Right.
You know?
Sorry, it's not available. Record your message at the tone. When you are finished,
maybe I'll leave him a message.
Press pound for more options.
Hi, I'm calling for Mr. Quincy Booth. This is Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
The Marjorie the Gathering.
Matt Gaetz as well.
We're calling because we're concerned about the conditions there at the prison. And we stopped by yesterday to tour the facility, like we tour many facilities as being members of Congress. We saw your statement today saying that we were comprising safety and security of the operations there, which is completely false. And that's a terrible thing to say in your statement. We're members of Congress and we have oversight over your facility, considering that especially we vote for the funds there. And we'd like for you to reach back out to us. You received a letter with information on how to correspond and call us back. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. And we have many questions that we would like answered.
And I mean, we've written you letters, we've shown up at your facilities, now we're calling you, and we must share with you that we're not going to stop asking these questions, and ultimately, you're going to be required to answer them.
You know who else calls people and demands that they answer their ridiculous questions?
Yeah.
That's a person very popular during Red Light on this show.
Conspiracy theorist, though, in general.
Yeah, but Madison Star Moon specifically.
Yeah.
So they were talking about how they went to the jail or whatever. And so here's some video from that. They went there with Louis Gohmert. Louis Gohmert was like, what's a jail?
Trespassing by attempting to come into this correctional facility.
People that vote on whether or not to fund you.
At least she's wearing a mask.
Trespassing.
I understand that.
My gosh, the government is upside down.
You're the government.
You right now are obstructing entrance into this facility. This is the way people enter. You're obstructing.
We won't obstruct the entrance.
Nope, we'll help anybody.
No, that's what we're doing. Okay, we'll clear the entrance. We'll clear the path.
And here's their little statement afterwards. I would just hope they would have let him in and then not let him out. That would have been fantastic.
Yep.
They'd have been like, oh, you want to see the conditions that they're in? Well, we'll show them to you by letting you have them for 2 weeks.
Here, I'll take you over here, and I'll take you over there. Check out this jail cell. Why don't you try out that bed real quick?
That's a nice suit. Take it off. Matt Gaetz is like, They're like, never mind. Leave it on.
The supervisor came down, was standing right here, and
turned her back on me. The other one says she won't talk anymore, that we're trespassers. She's not saying any more than that. We have turned a corner. We're in totalitarian Marxist territory.
Oh, get out.
Third world people get treated.
If you were in totalitarian territory and you showed up at the fucking prison to start asking questions they didn't want to answer, you'd end up in the prison.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think they should have been like, oh, you want to go in? They go, yeah. And then they let him in. They go, oh, you know, we can't let you out now, actually. Sorry. You're in jail now.
Gotcha.
So after the press conference, the same three people that we just saw, like after, or not after the press conference, after the hearings on January 6th, right? Or about January 6th, the three people we just saw tried to hold a press conference. Everybody saw this clip. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw this.
This is great.
The people of this country, the answers to the questions.
We need a break. We need the left is interrupting the press conference. We need to end it.
Thank you. For those of you that really care about this process, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just saw here today is, again, the intolerant left. I'll give those back now. So the whistle.
Oh, God. Oh, look, they made the racists feel uncomfortable and they went away.
They didn't touch anybody. Didn't invade anybody's space. Just made sure their signs got on Right Side Broadcasting Network. That was fantastic.
Yep.
Ooh, man, we're half hour through. Well, we have one called What the Fuck, Devin Nunes. I think we're going to do that because I don't even remember what it was about. So we're going to do What the Fuck, Devin Nunes. So I don't know what this is. These are my favorite kinds of clips, but this is from Fox News, and they're going to scrutinize Biden's town hall performance, I guess. But whatever, it's Devin Nunes. He's out of California. He's fucking dumb.
It's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
That was President Biden this week. Joining me right now is Congressman Devin Nunes. He's the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. Congressman, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
How's President Biden doing at the six-month mark? Assess the performance.
Well, you know, it's getting bad when the propaganda machine that the Democratic Socialists control in this country, they control 95% of the media or so. And then you take the big tech oligarchs that control and censor what we receive via social media. When that poison gets to the average independent American, that propaganda, you know, it's bad when they can't even find a 15 or 30 second soundbite out of a full hour town hall that they can plug into their own propaganda machine. I mean, it's getting really bad. It's not just the president. They can't get any sound bites from the vice president either. They're almost to the point, Maria, where they're going to have to start using computer generated graphics in order to give to the propaganda machine because they can't get good clips to sell what they're trying to sell here in Washington, which are policies that are running the country into the ground.
Well, the foreign policy certainly has empowered some of our adversaries. Oil prices having doubled.
Fake deeps.
These people, I realize I'm just repeating myself, but these people are fucking so fucking stupid. They're so stupid, but we're so fucked at the same time. It is the worst position to be in.
It is like, we're definitely like, we're hella fucked. Like, because like, you know, we have this Delta variant spreading around. The vaccine is certainly helping people, be certainly a lot less likely to end up in the hospital and a lot less likely to spread it around. But like 30% of people just won't fucking get it. And oh man, that's just one of the things. I mean, that's the big thing, I guess, but, and
2022 is coming, midterm election.
Well, that'll be fun. There'll be a lot of crazies running, so that'll be good for us, I suppose.
There are recall elections that are going to happen. There's fucking... It's chaos.
It'll be good for us if we're still around. What's the next variant of the virus, and will it kill us? I mean...
It's all the podcast version.
So we're going to get our palate cleanser. This is one of them fucking school board meetings about critical race theory. And so, but this is a palate cleanser. So this is going to be like after, I'm assuming the lead up to this was this guy who's going to go talk in front of this, listen to a bunch of dumb fucks complain about like the kids learning about racism. And so here's somebody like reasonable and rational going to go. It starts out in a way you're going to be like, uh-oh, I don't like this. And then it goes the other way.
Excuse me. Just before we start, speakers are to address the board, not the audience. Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the comments that we just got. I feel like it's been very one-sided here. And I also appreciate the comments that we had about how the school district will not teach critical race theory, and I appreciate that. But I want to go further. People complain about what's in the district books. I agree. I think that there's too much history in these history books. I read in just a textbook that everyone gets for the U.S. history exam that John Rutledge of South Carolina during the signing of the Declaration of Independence was like, you can't have a revolution unless you codify slavery as part of America. And then, you know, like, Chinese Exclusion Act, I mean, like, you know, Japanese internment camps, Trail of Tears, I mean, like, the stuff that's in the book right now, how are students supposed to read this stuff and not think that we have a race problem in this country? We need to go back to teaching George Washington, but not the slavery part, World War II, but not the Japanese internment camps or the fact that the American Nazi Party, and the I Have a Dream speech. We should teach them, okay, but just that part, not the part where the FBI ruins his life. We need equity in our voices. If the uninformed conservative voices of this country cannot use hate speech and fear-mongering to affect school curriculums, then why am I paying $15 a month to Trump's re-election campaign? So, fairness in our viewpoints, teach people to love America, not hate America, by not teaching them about America. Thank you.
Fuck yeah, that dude's fucking, nice. That's one of us, man. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
He's like, there's just too much history in the history books, and that's the fucking
take
problem.
Take it all out.
Fucking badass. And he went up there in one of them America shirts and shit. If you just saw him at one of those meetings, you'd be like, uh-oh, here we go.
He's a sleeper cell. Sleeper cell.
Oh, no. So Laura Trump apparently is still somebody that gets on TV.
What?
It's just, I'm like disgusted by everything about this, if I'm going to be honest, because she like is married to Eric Trump, which is gross.
At least it's not crazy Skeletor chick.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that's married to Donald Jr. That's Gavin Newsom's ex-wife or some shit.
Yeah. But I mean, I could see kind of being married to Don Jr. Right. I mean, never mind.
No.
All right, here we go.
Absolutely ludicrous. First of all, we know the efficacy of masks have been long disputed. It was Dr. Fauci who a year and a half ago, remember, told us all, if it makes you feel better, wear a mask. But
yo, again, oh, I hate Fox's website. Yo, again, it was really important. It was public policy. There weren't enough masks. The fucking people in the hospitals couldn't get them, and they saw what you did with the toilet paper, you dumb fucks.
Yeah, dude, y'all are idiots.
Oh God! What's going on with her? What? This is terrible.
We didn't have to wear a mask originally. He said it wasn't going to really do anything.
No more pausing.
Then they told us masks. Then they said three masks. They've gone back and forth on this. But as it relates to kids, I mean, I can tell you, it is almost impossible for my three-year-old son to keep a mask on. So the idea that these kids are going to have to sit through an entire day in a classroom with masks.
Three-year-olds aren't in school yet.
Videos of the kids who are waiting for the bus crying because they don't want to have to wear the mask. It gives them headaches. From a social perspective, they can't see the faces.
Think of the bus driver.
Of the other children. We know also, if we're following the science, Ainsley, like we were supposed to do the entire time, that thank goodness children do not get COVID in the same way that adults do. If they get it, we know that they get a very mild case of it. They're not the super spreaders that we originally were told they might be. And so the idea that we're going to make our children sit in school masked up all day long, I think is absolutely ludicrous. They're also not coming in contact with germs germs that they need to develop an immune system. My daughter, Carolina, last week had a cold. Every parent knows that's a nightmare. I have to tell you, I was so thrilled because I know that she is actually getting in contact with viruses and germs and bacteria that will allow her to develop an immune system. This is absolutely insane that we are considering making these poor kids sit in school in masks. As a parent, I can tell you, I am not going to be masking up my children. It is not going to happen for us.
Yeah, oh, that's Pox Party Laura.
Her kids go to a fucking, like, a private school where she calls the shots because of who she is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, what she's talking about has nothing to do with anything because she's, like, her kids aren't going to public school. Here's Matt Gaetz talking about what we're going to call the Florida variant of COVID-19. This is off of Reddit. This is from the public freakout thing. I love it. I can't believe that our, like, politicians are on Reddit's public freakout now. Anyway, here we go.
I mean, you know, you've had all the experts say, well, look out for the Delta variant or the Lambda variant. Next is going to be like the Chi Omega variant or the Pi Kappa Psi variant. I got the Florida variant. I got the Freedom variant. It affects the brain. It gets you to think for yourself, where you don't just surrender to the truth that they're trying
to. This guy's telling you to think for himself with the fucking thing behind him where they have, like, look. Here, think for yourself. Look at, there's like a fucking cardboard cutout of Donald Trump right there. It's like, here, think for yourself. Obey the master. Come on, man. Look at all this shit. Think for yourself here. Trump. Everything behind him is like pro-Trump.
Trump 2020.
He can't even get a good fucking Chiron behind him.
Don't just surrender to the truth that they're trying to create in corrupt big media. And speaking of...
Oh, wait, that's like a fucking background poster. That's like a fucking trailer or some shit. With a fucking rap of an old MAGA rally on it. Jesus fucking Christ.
It was his ride there. He had, you know... You got it. Sometimes, you know, when you go to a party and you're like, oh, I know that guy, they're kind of idiots, but they're my ride.
Instead of jumping out of a cake, he jumps out of a trailer.
That's disgusting. Speaking of jumping out of a cake for producer Dave, here's a clip of Charles Kirk, and he's going to talk about the most dangerous childhood games.
It is probably not lawn darts.
Here's something that people don't like to talk about. You cannot have a culture of liberty and also a culture of safetyism. They are incompatible. You got to choose one or the other. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to let my 14-year-old live his life. Don't go wear a mask. If you get the virus, I'll tend to you. Go grow up.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, his face is getting smaller.
Let me just be very clear. When I grew up, the type of violent, I use that word intentionally, violent sports that I was involved in were far more dangerous than ever getting COVID. Okay? I'm talking about tackle football on the pavement, okay?
This guy did not play tackle football on the pavement.
No.
In fact, fucking the most badass football player in the world would be like, I will never play tackle football with anyone on the pavement. I will get hurt or I will hurt someone else, and it's a game. It's supposed to be fucking fun or entertaining, yeah, for the people watching.
You're not supposed to go home with full body fucking road rash.
Can anyone relate to this sort of stuff? I'm talking about paintballing with just in people's backyards wearing t-shirts and shorts. And if you've ever been hit by a paintball, I'll tell you what, that's something. I'm not jumping off of big structures having no idea what you're doing. Now, I'm not defending that. I'm not saying that was wise. I am saying, though, that that is part of childhood development.
Come
Lots
on,
of people
man.
Play paintball and a t-shirt and shorts, but they do wear eye protection.
He's like fucking tackle football in the street. Nobody does that.
I mean, maybe that explains a lot then.
Maybe. I gotta ask. We're gonna move on. We're gonna ask a really important question. Can a Christian be a volunteer firefighter?
Yes.
Well, you're wrong.
I've told some of these boys here, I said, if you got a wife and you own the volunteer fire department, EMT and all that stuff, all that's about is adrenaline rush. And it ain't nothing but a glorified soap opera. And you don't hang around at the firehouse and with a wife at home without ending up in trouble.
Wait, what?
And that's the truth. Some vocations are not, even though they're needed vocations and they have to be done, they're not fitting for Christians.
Wait a minute. I bet we could get any fucking pastor within fucking 100 miles of here on the show, right? And yeah, be like, hey, would it be in line with your Christian values for somebody to be part of the volunteer firefighting department? They'd be like, oh, yes, absolutely. They'd be serving their community and God, right? I don't even believe in God. But if you believe in God, I feel like fucking volunteer firefighter is like in line with what the good version of what the Christians believe is, right? Like help your neighbor, literally help your neighbor.
Yeah. Save thy neighbor's house from burning down.
It's nothing but a soap opera.
That's right.
Well, preacher, somebody's got to do this job. Let somebody do it. You get another one. So, well, that sounds, you know, crude or cruel. I'm just telling you, there's some things that is sensual.
I mean, this guy just like fucking outed himself because he's attracted to firefighters. He's like, oh, this guy's like cheating on his wife with a firefighter. That's what I think's going on here.
He's got that like the calendar inside the confession booth.
He's got the calendar and the thirst.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a while since we've done a Coach Dave.
Oh, God.
It's about Dr. Fauci. And it is what it is. Shout out to Right Wing Watch.
Friends, as it was in the day of Noah. Friends, as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of Son of Man. And if Dr. Sherry was here, what would she tell us? That this jab is mixing and melting and working and screwing up your DNA.
This clip is fucking up my DNA.
It was going on before the days of Noah. The exact same thing. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the coming of the Son of Man. Dr.
Amen,
Fauci.
Coach.
Dr.
Amen.
Fauci is an emissary of the devil, folks. Not just the devil that you see on Halloween. Not just a guy who dressed up in a suit. He is an emissary of Beelzebub himself, sent to deceive and destroy the seed of Christ.
I mean, shout out to, well, actually fuck Right Wing Watch for that one. He couldn't even say Beelzebub right, which was weird.
He are angry.
He's screaming and shit. But you know what we learned is that you can join his show, which is
God.
Interesting news and information. You could just be like, amen, amen. He keeps you on. And then you start talking shit and he kicks you off. That's how it would go for me.
Send Justin in on that one.
I said, Lisa says what in there? She's a Christian. She could school him. Plus, it'd be nice to like be able to post a clip of Lisa dunking on someone on our Twitter.
That'd be funny.
So we got a couple more stories here. We're almost done with the podcast version of the show. Let's go with here's Governor Asa Hutchinson. He's of Arkansas. He's a Republican of Arkansas. And he's going to get booed for not doing the COVID conspiracy crap.
You know, does this impact fertility? Well, the answer is no, and that's been the data, but they...
Look at him. He's like, look at the monster I helped create.
Oops.
I'm telling you, that's what this is. This dude, this is Asa Hutchinson. He's like a arch conservative. He ran on a very far right platform to get the governorship of Arkansas. And now he's like, what do you mean the people who voted for me, who I appealed to with all this batshit crazy stuff I believe, are now batshit crazying
at me?
Yeah. It's like a, you know, Frankenstein builds a monster and is like, why is it a monster?
Dr. Dillahay, do you want to answer that?
So at this point in time, there is no evidence that the COVID...
20,000 women you shut down from telling their stories. This is ridiculous.
All right, so go ahead, Dr. Dillahay.
So there is no...
Dude, doctor, whoever that doctor is, should just throw her mic at the fucking crowd and leave. She should just be like, here, have the microphone.
Take yourselves out, motherfuckers.
Go ahead, Dr. Hill.
So there is no medical evidence at this time that the COVID vaccines impact fertility. There is a great deal of evidence that the COVID illness itself causes problems with pregnancy and fetal demise. So I think it's important for people to have factual, accurate information.
We love it, but you keep covering it up.
Oh my God. Don't you hate being right about this shit? Like, it bothers me every day.
Yeah, I know.
We were like four years ahead on all this shit.
Like, well, there was, I had a very long drive back with little Ritz, right? The girls are asleep in the back and mom's like, so what's going on with Northern California, blah, 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 blah. I started going into it and she like, it ended up into a conversation about like, she's like, why does anybody care? And I said, well, people care because there's like, it's breaking down from top to bottom and everybody's infighting and nobody's doing anything. And everybody who would have the capacity to deal with things like this are busy going to fucking work and have lives and families to take care of. So the best thing you could do is take the war on social media, which is what, you know, everybody's like, oh, don't you have a life? Can't you fucking do blah, blah, blah. You spend all your time on social media. All these fucking right wing idiots don't realize that it takes like, what, 3.5 seconds to say you're a fucking moron on fucking Facebook and hit send. But it doesn't like take that long.
Yeah, we're like living in a world where literally all the stuff that we basically had other news podcasters be like, why are you covering this shit and not real news? And now we live in the world where the shit we were talking about before is the real news. And it's actually, you know, we joke around about how it's our fault, but like, I don't know. I saw it coming. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And none of the people, there are fucking three people right now. Whoever runs Comcast can do it too. But Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and Susan Wojcicki right now can fucking stop all of this. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube can stop all of this tomorrow. They can just, it's, I'm sorry. If Facebook knows that I ride a bicycle, that I'm a gay person, that I like house music, and that I should probably get ads for, you know, restaurants that are nice, but not too terribly expensive that have a full bar, they know who the fuck is talking all the anti-vaccine shit all the time. And they can just get rid of those accounts, and they're not going to do it because they don't want the fucking, like the oh, Facebook is censoring me. It's like, well, fuck yeah, they are. They should have been doing it a long time ago. They could have fixed this at the beginning of COVID by just saying we have a zero tolerance policy for anti-vaccine sentiment and sentiment that, you know, COVID-19 is a bioweapon and we will kick you off if you do it. You warn them once and you kick them off, but they won't do it. There's too much money in that shit and it's fucking disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. If you work for any of those three companies, you need to quit. If you're an engineer, if you're a software engineer and you work at Facebook, it's not like somebody else won't fucking hire you. If you're like a project manager at Twitter, what do you think? Some other company's not going to hire you because you quit Twitter because there's fucking all this misinformation on there. You might go work for somebody ethical, actually. Or less unethical, maybe. But you might end up in a better company with better people. Like, I don't know. Patreon also fucking could put the kibosh on this by stopping the income streams of some of these people, right?
Yeah.
Like, For example, Brett Weinstein, his Patreon number of subscribers has tripled since he started doing this anti-vaccine shit. Well, he would stop doing this immediately if all of a sudden Patreon was like, bye. Bye-bye.
Yep. But
none of these companies will do that. And I think they're just all a bunch of fucking cowards. They're like afraid that they're going to, that the these people aren't going to like them. But I'm like unafraid that these people aren't going to like me. In fact, that was one of the mission statements once we started, was like, let's make sure the right people hate us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, for example, let's make sure that we get reactions like this from people. Up, oh, that's the wrong one. Let me see. Where'd we go? We got a, let's make sure we get this reaction.
Dave, he needs anger management. You know, last time he came on, oh my goodness, he was furious.
But none of these people have like the courage to do this, or maybe they don't care because it's never going to affect them. We covered a story on Down Ballot about how Facebook isn't letting any of their unvaccinated employees come back to work. And it's like the height of fucking irony, because if any of their employees are anti-vaccine, where the fuck do you think they found the information that caused them to be anti-vaccine? It's again like, oh, we created this monster, but let's not let it onto our campus in fucking East Palo Alto, you know?
Right.
Fucking so mad about this, because like, there's just a handful of people who could put a stop to this, and every day they choose not to.
Yeah.
They just choose not to, and it's fucking gross. And I don't know. It's like an extraordinary time right now, as Austin Bennett would say, extraordinary.
Extraordinary time.
And we could do a few extraordinary things, and the, you know, like, whatever. We're going to play one more clip before we go into red light, everybody. We got one more of Marjorie the Gathering.
Fuck.
This is, she's going to talk about how everybody's communists and Marxists, and she says that if you don't believe her, you should just study history.
It's a regime. It's a communist regime. It's been a communist takeover of our country, and it happened on January 21st, and that is who Joe Biden is. They are completely...
When you say that, people, you know, are going to sit there and go in the mainstream
media. Of course, she's on Steve Bannon.
These are not communists. Back up why you think they're Marxists and communists. Why, what's your evidence for that, and how do you make that statement?
The evidence, study history. Simply study history.
So no evidence.
No evidence at all.
Joe Biden is not a communist.
No.
He's like barely a neoliberal. He's like almost barely a shit lib. Like, he's not a communist. He doesn't believe in redistribution of, you know, wealth, much less the workers taking the means of production away from the capitalists. He doesn't believe in any of that.
No.
And if he does, he's doing a great job of hiding it, which would feed into Marjorie the Gathering's conspiracy theory. You know what? We'll do one more. We're going to do Jimmy Dore, because the media wench hasn't been fucking pissed off by any of this shit enough. You sat through a couple Tuckers and Eric Weinstein, and so I'm going to give you a Jimmy Dore. I don't even know what he's talking about, but basically, like, the standard fucking thing around here is that Jimmy Dore can go fuck himself. And then one of the main reasons he can go fuck himself is that he, like, admitted to and then bragged about harassing a female coworker when he worked at TYT. Like, sexually harassing her. He was saying, oh, she was wearing a skirt. She didn't want us to see what she had. And this is something I talk about a lot. It's like, a woman at work, in certain environments, has to walk this line. And, or they feel like they do anyway, is where they don't, you know, they don't want to be seen as slutty, but they also don't want people to think they're frumpy. Whereas men in most office environments, depending on, it could be anything casual from like khakis and a polo, or to maybe something more formal where you wear a suit and tie, but you don't have this stuff where you're worried about, oh, are these pants too tight? Are people going to think I'm a whore because my butt looks good in these pants? Men don't worry about that stuff. So that's one of the many reasons I think Jimmy Dore can go fuck himself. But I think he's going to talk about somebody who I read a lot. I think he's talking about Ryan Grimm here. And Ryan Grimm's not perfect. Let me make sure this is right. Yeah, it's Ryan Grimm. Ryan Grimm's not perfect, whatever. But he's going to talk hella shit about Ryan Grimm. And here's Jimmy Dore. I'm sorry, but this is the way the show ends. I mean, I got to scare people off before red light somehow.
Ryan Grimm has now been outed time and time and time again. The Intercept has been outed time and time and time again as being an enemy of the people, as being an enemy of Medicare for All, as running interference for politicians, and other YouTubers still fucking talk about that guy like he's a good journalist instead of an enemy of the progressive movement. And shame on those motherfuckers.
But shame on your fucking video overlay, Jimmy. Do you know how much money this guy has to spend on the technology in his show?
I was just going to say, this motherfucker has a budget, and this is what he comes up with.
You can see that this is Skype. He couldn't even fuss to crop out like some of the stuff. Like, this guy can't even figure out OBS Ninja. Also, this is a pretty good screenshot. Mostly because his mouth is closed.
Yeah.
We don't have enough Jimmy on the screenshots. We've also been like cheating on the screenshots when you haven't been as available. Don't go look through the screenshots and fire people, please.
And I'm calling them out, and we should all be calling them out because these are desperate times. And those motherfuckers who are running interference for Bernie Sanders and Ryan Grimm and the Young Turks and all those pukes, those people have health care. Those people are millionaires, lots of them.
Jimmy?
Yeah. Ryan Grimm gets a six-figure, probably $500,000 a year from a billionaire to run interference to squash progressive movements. That's what Ryan Grimm gives. That's what The Intercept is doing right now. And fuck those other YouTube hosts who prop that guy up.
Good, great, Jimmy. You should have some of them on your show and talk to them. It went so well for you when you fucking got hella mad and called Sam Cedar from your car that one time in like 2016. Jimmy, fuck Jimmy Dore. Like, listen. Ryan Grimm's a pretty good reporter. The Intercept's generally been pretty good. I like The Intercept. They report on technology very well. They report on the intersection of technology and like our daily lives pretty well. It's funded by a billionaire, but like, you know, if you're going to do independent journalism, you got to get your money from somewhere. Like, if some billionaire was like, hey, you know, I'm going to pay you guys each $500,000 a year, you do your thing because that's pocket change for me. It's a rounding error. Then Jimmy'd be yelling about us. And that'd be great. We'd throw a party.
Yeah, it would piss him off the most.
This guy is just, he just doesn't seem like he doesn't talk about policy a lot, and he's like yelling about Bernie Sanders, and like, I don't know, we call them the dumb dumb left for a reason.
Yeah,
he's the dumb dumb left. I had to explain to somebody on Twitter. They were like, oh, you think leftists are dumb? And I'm like, no, I think these people, Jimmy Dore is dumb. I think, you know, I forget who else we were talking. They were talking about it was someone else. But I'm like, these people are dumb. I don't even think they're to my left. They're just the dumb, dumb left. And they didn't really understand. And I think they muted me or something because they weren't trying to hear like that. I was like, no, it's not that they're left. It's that they're dumb that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure that he's dumb. I think he may... You know, he may know what he's doing. He may know exactly what he's doing. I can't get into his mind, right? I've had debates. I debated Mark Monkey. Mark Monkey might say he's arguing this in bad faith or whatever, you know? I would say, I don't know. He's dumb. Yeah. Like, I don't give a fuck if he believes this or not. But I figured, you know, if we're going to end the podcast anywhere, Jimmy Dore yelling about something he doesn't understand and probably doesn't care about is as good a place to end as any. Because also, you stayed, which was nice. So why don't you read us out?
Well, thank you everybody for tuning into the podcast version of this show. If you like this portion and you want to listen to it audibly, please go to your podcatcher and click the like button on the Plex and Local Love and Down Ballot and Intellectual Dollar Tree and any of the other shows that we have that we release as podcasts. Follow us here on Twitch if you're not already. It's twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Jump in our discord.me/echoplex, and you can follow me and Dave pretty much anywhere. Just go to echoplexmedia.com and check out our socials.
Of a protest in peace.
time of aggression and a deadly disease. Thousands of dead. There's no room for discussion with a gun to your head. Let your voice be your weapon. Let your shield be your words. Let there be no confusion.
Let the people